Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, I don't know if you comprehend what the Lord was saying. He loves it when we're trying to get our arms around Him. He loves it when we choose to come out no matter what and honor Him. And He's a rewarder of that. He's a rewarder of our diligence in that. Now, I was told this morning that our distance drive record is being broken. You used to carry that. It was 89 miles thereabouts for years. Well, I hear there's, what's that? A little closer than that now, but I heard that there's a new distance being made every week, 109 miles. That's pretty far. Now, I would say that's intentionality. I would say that if we listen to the Lord, we find our lives filled with little things like that, where we could choose to think, man, this is an unfair deal. Or we could say, I'm going to honor the Lord with this and call it my intention. Now, one is dishonoring. The other is honoring. The mileage it's the same. It's just what it is. And most around here, mostly we accept, we live where we live, and there are blessings and there are costs involved. I mean, if you want convenience, you have to kind of plant next door to some kind of grocery store. Well, I don't have one next door. You don't have one next door. Some of you don't have one for 20 minutes, maybe, you know. But we have advantages to where God placed us and many of the choices that we make. But we also have things that we could see as a handicap or a disadvantage or an aggravation. So many times people view their walk with the Lord as an inconvenience, rather than a way to honor Him. The Lord was trying to say this morning, or I'm trying to convey what He was saying. He didn't have any problem saying it, but I sometimes have a hard time relating what He means because I have a comprehension, kind of like a download beyond what I can say. He loves all the little things that you do to honor Him. And He's a rewarder. See, sometimes we think God's waiting for us to do some big monumental thing when it's a lifestyle of continual little sacrifices. It's okay to think about sacrifice being in your relationship with the Lord, because to serve the Lord in the world today, there's going to be an element of sacrifice. To serve the Lord in the world today, there's going to be an element of separation where, you know, if we serve a Lord King who is not in the government, well, that's a change. If we serve a Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed, who came to this world to save us, He came to save us from something, and we're still in that world He came to save us from. In other words, we're not done with that yet. We're still dealing with being in this world. I want you to recognize and have faith in the Lord Jesus to reward you for all the little things, to anticipate His pleasure in those little things. If He knows how many hairs are on your head and He has a diagram in His mind that they're all numbered, He knows every little thing. He knows every little obedience of the heart. He even knows the struggles of our heart. As we grow in the things of God, we might wrestle with some things in our heart and say, well, I want to do that, but that's hard for me. I think that would honor the Lord, but I don't know, I've never been able to quite go the distance. I've never been able to do that. I've never been able to... He knows the struggle, and that's what He likes to come into the most to help us. He's not waiting for you to be sanctified to visit your heart. He's just waiting for an invitation. He's just waiting for intent on our part. And some of the most valuable praying we can do is talk to Jesus about where we're trying and reveal our intentionality, our intent toward Him. Lord, I'm going to do better. Ever had your child tell you that right in the midst of really blowing it? And you've made the face that's about to express words, but they want to express the words before you can. I'll do better next time. How much Jesus engages that kind of faith? That's where the greatest faith is. Where we know we need his help, we know we need his forgiveness, we know we need his strength. That's where he wants to be, right in the middle of that. But we're almost taught by religious thinking that we've got to come to God only when we've really worked on a cleansing and everything being just so. I don't know. I've never met anybody that was the spotless lamb. Jesus was it. We come to him with our spots. We come to him with our wrinkles. We come to him with our issues, and he likes that we're coming. He, in fact, he loves that we're coming to him. He loves that instead of like covering it up, we reveal it. Say, Jesus, here I am. Here's my deal. He loves that because that's what he died to take care of. You know, it gives him glory to let him work on us. You know, we have two cats. One mostly lives outside. One lives inside, but she wants to get outside. And you know, when she gets outside, she's a great big 20-pound kitty with a long, skinny tail. She looks like a cartoon cat. But when she finds a way to get out, she will bolt for the bushes. And we don't know how, but whenever she does get out, she seems to bring a flea in, even if it's minutes later. And, you know, Gracie the cat loves to be handled and petted. She's friendly if you've ever been to the house. She's the indoor cat. But she's had something biting her back. She'll want petted, but when you get to that spot where something was biting her, she'll act like she's going to eat you alive. She won't, but she'll act like, well, she's trying to let me know, or Lucinda know, there's trouble here and I can't fix it. When we get a little edgy or wound or irritated, Jesus knows why. Oh, the other day, Lucinda got the little comb out. She said, yep, there's fleas. We don't want fleas. Now, this morning, Gracie didn't have any issue being petted. She came and jumped up on my lap, laid on my chest, you know, doing the cat thing. And she didn't growl. She didn't complain. If we give Jesus access by revealing our intention, even if we're hurting a little, even if we're grouchy, even if we like snarl a little bit when we hear the scripture. You know, Christians do that. You know, Gracie just does a, but sometimes we hear something and on the inside we're thinking, I didn't want to hear that this morning. The word has a way of getting to us, so we'll be honest with God. Because he loves that place where we recognize he's got what we need and we'll admit it. Many times faith starts with an admission. And God is faithful and God is quick to perform his word. And he'll do it. So faith is a very real substance that has to do with our very real life where we're truthful with the Master. In this series, we're talking about guarding our hearts. We're talking about loving right things and right people because Jesus expressed how important it was. And I want you to know that this world is set up for you to fall in love with everything wrong. This world has a lure to it. The culture of what we would call modern culture or pop culture has a lure to it, and pop culture is not one kind of music, or one kind of dress, or one kind of haircut, or one kind of behavior, or one kind of anything. Pop culture now has, I don't know, a gazillion different things that people will consider cool, in, hip, amazing, wonderful. On and on and on are the words to describe it. And really what pop culture is a way for anybody who wants to do their own thing. Do it with some energy, do it with enthusiasm, and if a few people catch on, you've got a trend. So one of the biggest words in the English language right now is trending now. I'd be mindful of what's trending now and step back and say, I'm not falling in love with that. I'm not going to get too attached to that. I'm not going to take on a label that has anything to do with this world. I'm going to be a Christian. That doesn't mean you can't have a look, dress a certain way. It doesn't mean it's not a law. It's a matter of grace where God said, I want to be first. I want you to first be about me and not fall in love with anything else. Did you know loving God with all your heart is something that we have to work at a little bit? That's why I believe he started out talking about intent and intention on our part. We put an effort in. We make a choice. And much of what goes on in the world, he doesn't really even want our hand in it. But I found that when we make Jesus Savior, he will keep working on us so that we will allow him to be Lord. The power of God unto salvation comes free to us, where we're saved from hell and we can go to heaven. But there's great power in a relationship where we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. And that means who we love and what we love. So the greatest conflict you will ever have as a Christian will be to make sure you're loving right things and right people. And the Bible gives a guideline, but it gives such a guideline that really it's easy to understand to the person who wants to understand it. But so many today would rather look at pop culture and say, God, fit into my way of living. Fit into my way of thinking, fit into my little circle. Now, that's where lordship gets in trouble, and Jesus isn't Lord, because he said he is the way, the truth, and the life. See, there's a big push even among churches today. Well, accept every form of worship. Accept every kind of God. Respect everybody else's God. Did you know the Bible teaches we are to not respect? Be prepared, if Jesus is Lord, to be politically incorrect, because that will be the true test of lordship as the God clock keeps ticking. And he says that eventually this world will come to an end. The age of this world that we're in now will come to an end. And when it does, we'll be on the right side of things. Well, that's to introduce our topic. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Jesus is speaking, and this is full of Jesus' words today. I think every scripture I've picked is. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, he used the word any. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, that means if any man love God, the love of God will be in him. See, we can look at it as a negative and say, if I have a love issue with something else, I better fix it. True, but if we love God, he works to push out those other loves. He wants us to have it right. God doesn't have to win the fight. Jesus already did that on the cross. Even for us to love right things, but to love right things and right people, we have to look to Jesus. He's the author and he's the finisher. I don't know how easily people struggle with being lured into this and that. There are thousands of lures out there. There's lures we would call within the realm of commercialism. Everybody advertising. Advertising really is a lure to see who will respond to what kind of bait. Think of a fishing line going into a pond. If I'm going to go out for catfish, I'm going to use a certain kind of bait. If I want to catch bass, particular kind of bass, I'm going to get a MEP spinner. Depending on the sun, I'm going to use one with a gold spoon or a silver spoon. And I like a little flash of red because it seems to draw their attention. And we learn that the world is marketing. I want you to know this. The world is marketing to steal your soul. That's why Jesus' words here were, don't fall in love with any of that. He didn't say you couldn't have some things and do some things and have some fun and enjoy what you eat and enjoy where you live and enjoy what you... He didn't say you couldn't have or do or enjoy those things. He just said, don't fall in love with it. Stay in love with him. And he warns us that when we start liking this life too much, the God life in us is being suppressed. and we don't have a true relationship of lordship with Jesus. Every so often, I go into a fasting season. Sometimes the Lord speaks to me that there's a specific reason. Other times the reason is I'm out of control somehow. I say, what do you mean out of control? Well, don't let your imagination run wild. Maybe I've just been eating too much and not exercising enough. Why? He said that we have to take care of our bodies if we want them to live long. So every so often, if I look in the mirror and things don't seem like they ought to, I'll say, body, you're coming under subjection to the Spirit of God again. Because Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to honor my master, and he's going to put my body back in line because he has to live in here. I just have to look at it. He has to live in here. So Lord Jesus, while I'm working on what this looks like, you're going to work on the inside of me. I'm going to work on the outside of the house. You're going to work on the inside of the house, and we're going to have a better house. If some kind of storm comes, we're not built on the sand, we're built on the rock, and we're putting some pylons down, and we are going nowhere. We are still supposed to be here. Our season is not up. And I'm not letting somebody else move into this house. Jesus, you're big in me. And I have to sort of get myself back in that mode. The first 3 days, my body, if it's been having whatever it wants to eat, it wants more of what it got used to. And for me, that could be chocolate. Okay, what? There's always some in the house. I have a store of chocolate, okay, literally. So it's there, it's available, but I move it out of my sight. Why? I don't want fellowship with it. Why? My body's falling in love with it. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Oh, your body probably fell in love with something too. When I get past the chocolate, it might be steak. Say, no, we only getting fish and chicken right now. Oh, I don't want. I'll reason with that. Say, but Lord Jesus, you know, that can't be right. We got a lot of people in our church, cows and pigs. I mean, it has to be anointed to eat beef and pork, you know. And you can find every kind of reason. Say, well, God's never dealt with me that way. Well, ask him about it. I'm not pushing a fast today or anything like that. I'm just saying how easily we fall in love with wrong things and wrong people because it's convenient to, because it's popular to, because it seems right in the environment we're in. So much so that people even say, well, that's how you reach people. You gotta love everybody. No, Jesus said, be careful who and what we love, didn't he? That doesn't mean I hate anybody, but I'm going to fellowship and love light and not fellowship and love darkness. I'll be friendly to darkness, but my purpose when I'm dealing with darkness is different than it is when I'm dealing with the light. When I get around other people walking in the light and they have something I don't have, they're going to shine a little bit of light into me and I'm going to go, oh, I better do that. Just like talking about fasting. A few people said, oh, why is he talking about that? That's just a little light shining to you to help you. But if I was out with people who don't love Jesus or people who say they do and they're in love with wrong things and wrong people, the tendency is going to be for their dark to come over into my space. Why? I'm allowing it. Now, you can do what you will with that, but I would encourage you, you want to be around as much light as you can. Why? It'll cause you to deal with anything that you might have fallen in love with that isn't right. Did you know we need each other for that? But many people are uncomfortable with that because we've kind of accepted the world's doctrine that we can be anything we want to be. Jesus said we're supposed to be like him. We're supposed to be like light. Well, that's the real test. Other Christians should at times make you a little uncomfortable because they got something going on good that you don't. And that's why we're called the body of Christ. The differences should make us stronger and not segregate us and separate us. Well, I get around them and I feel conviction. Hallelujah, you need a friend like that. Now, you don't want the conviction to be that they're jumping on your case all the time. Nobody wants a friend like that. But when they're bringing encouragement or they're bringing the word or they're texting you, what's up, I've been praying for you, you need a friend like that. You're going to want a friend like that. If they get a little bit too trying to shine the flashlight into your cellar, you can say, look, tell me something good. And they'll learn. Well, we're learning how to do that. But what fellowship does light have with darkness? It doesn't have fellowship. It has exposure. No. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, and the world passes away and the lust thereof, because there's a coercion that the devil has brought into the earth to love wrong things and wrong people. He tried it on Jesus. Jesus was in fasting and prayer, and the devil said, I want to give you all this whole realm if you'll just one time worship me for just a moment. Just bend your knee once, Jesus, and you can have it all. How the devil plays that game again and again and again. When in reality, if we bend a knee to him, he's going to knock off our leg. Why, he's out, take us out. Now, Jesus wants us to be preoccupied with him. To get to the meat of the matter, this is Matthew 24 talking about latter days and a summation of verses 37 through 42. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And he's talking then about everyday life. And he says, two will be in the field, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Then a key thing he says, watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. Now this is Jesus telling a story about what it will be like when he comes again. Scripture teaches that there will be a rapture of the church that will catch half the Christians off guard. Why do I say half the Christians? We've got four people here. He takes two, and two are left behind. And they said, Lord, Lord. They all looked to Jesus as Lord, Lord. Now, Jesus is letting us know it's more than just saying. There's some doing. There's a watchfulness. There's an attitude. There's a heart that we have toward him to want to know what's up with him, to want to know what he needs from us or wants from us. But they're out in everyday life. This for their day was a picture of like going to the grocery store and cutting the grass and, you know, just everyday stuff. And it wasn't about somebody doing the wrong everyday stuff or having a wrong job or, you know, I hear Christians get all concerned sometimes. I hope I have the right job. I hope I'm doing, you know, Jesus isn't focused on that kind of stuff here. He gives us a lot of choices to make and a lot of liberty in our everyday life. So they're out there, all four, just doing normal stuff. And two get to go, and two are left behind. And the key is, he uses the phrase, Lord, Lord. And he ties it to watching. So there's something that has to happen in our heart and in our life where we are rather preoccupied with Jesus. That it isn't a Sunday thing we do just to honor him, though that's one of the things that we do. We honor the Lord. He said to honor him by keeping the Sabbath and keeping it holy. That means we see it set apart as that's a God day. Okay? We're going to honor him and we're going to rest from some things. Why? He designed it that way. That's what he wants. We're going to do that, but that's one of the things we do. He's not talking about the Sabbath here because they would not have done either one of these things on the Sabbath. He's talking about the other part of life. He's talking about Jesus being Lord of everyday life. Jesus being Lord at the workplace. Jesus being our Lord. And the word really means owner. Jesus is supposed to own us. He wants to. He wants us to want him to own us. Now, that's a lot to swallow in our everyday American culture. It's interesting in counseling young couples as they're doing premarital counseling, whenever I do that, and I don't do it often, but when I do, they have to come into an understanding that they are leaving their life behind for the other. So much so I tell them, you'll be like owning each other. Well, most times like, what? He can't own me. She's not going to own me. So then you're not ready to get married. Why? We're supposed to lay down our life That means we throw the transmission in neutral and we take care of the other one. That's close to a picture of lordship. That's why Jesus said that the marriage relationship is the closest thing we will know to what Jesus thinks toward his church. He laid down his life and he gave it for us, and he is the way. So he is showing us the way, what lordship looks like. Now, does that mean in a marriage you lord it over each other? Better not. Better have Jesus be the Lord, or you'll have perpetual warring in your house. It's not for any of us to lord it over our spouse. It's for us to be in subjection to Christ and serve one another. But to be focused more on serving the other than being taken care of ourselves. In other words, Jesus pushes away selfishness. He says, think of life this way. You no longer have a self life. You have a God life and an others focus. Ooh, is that different than the world? Because the world is self, self, selfie, isn't it? So much so that there's another word in modern culture that everybody knows, even great, great grandma that's never taken one knows what a selfie is. And she won't just say, send me a picture. She'll say, you can send me a selfie. I want to see what's going on with you. Or give me face time. What's going on in your face at this time? That's pretty self-focused. I'm just pointing out trends, because trends are usually taking you away from Jesus somehow. So if you get too focused on selfies, you begin to worship selfie. Yes. And we start thinking, how do I want to be seen by my friends? And people know that people don't take a selfie when they're at the lowest low and look like a scrounge. Not very many do. We don't send out real life. We send out a made-up part of life that looks more glamorous than it really is. And when other cultures look at that and they think Americans all have perfect lives. And when I deal with somebody from another culture, I say, that's all a big lie. That is not how it is. When people, they're just celebrating their happy moments and they're not telling you the rest. Why? America has one of the highest depression rates in the world. So how could it be, if everything is wonderful? What is it? It's a perception, because we want it to be that way. And the few moments we have something that looks like that, we want everybody to think that's how it is, when in reality that is not how it is all the time, because we're in a fallen world. This world is not designed to look like that and be like that all the time. Only Jesus can move us in that direction for all eternity. Otherwise, we are fighting a losing battle and pretending to be someone that we are not. And I've never liked fake. Right? Wouldn't you rather have the real deal? I mean, if somebody says, you know, this is chopped steak. I say, oh, which cut? Why, there's a difference in what kind of chopped steak. It's going to taste different. I had somebody pull on me once, this is chopped steak, and it had liver in it. It might have had some chopped steak, but it had something else. And I said, oh no, this is what we fed the catfish. This does not. And see, there's a difference. But what we accept to be truth pretty soon changes our taste. And we step to a different level or a different standard. Now, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. Lord means we give deference to him. We'll tolerate inconvenience for him. I'd like to say I learned the most about lordship doing church stuff or being a preacher, but that would be a lie. I got concepts that way. But I learned lordship from a rather demanding, somewhat tyrannical boss who didn't have a problem thinking he owned me in many respects. Who didn't have a problem calling at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning or 11 at night or on my anniversary or when we were on vacation or anything else. who didn't have a problem saying, you will check email 10 times a day. You'll call corporate office and talk to the secretary morning, noon, and night. To work there and be compensated as I was, I simply said, yes, sir. And I adjusted my life to fit the needs or desires. Sometimes they were desires. I thought, well, you don't really need to do that, but he wants me to do that. Now, I could have gotten in a little warfare with my boss and said, you don't own me. You know what he said? You're right, I don't. Would you rather work somewhere else? Now, if the world can do that, Jesus has a version of that that is healthy and right for us. But we don't ever find out what it is until we start submitting to his way. That's why Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, and he said that first. In other words, if it ain't his way, we do in some other way. Then he said, my way you can find in the truth. Well, we know the truth is the scripture. That's why we preach the Bible. That's why we don't come in here making anything up. We just, what does it say? And let's keep it simple. Let's just put it out there for what it is. But I like to put it out there and do a comparison with, this is what God's word says, but here's what really is happening with a lot of people. So we come out from among that culture to walk in the blessing of God. Now, he said, your Lord does come. So there's going to be an inconvenience, but there's also an alertness. It got to be where I could know what the conversation would be before the boss would call. And I would try to call him before he bothered me. Why? That was what was really expected in our relationship. If I was going to run his company, I better run a step ahead of him or two. And if his phone rang first with the same subject matter, we were on the same page. And I could enjoy the luxury of doing what I needed to do all day without too much interference. But if he got to me first and caught me off guard with anything all day, I was going to feel like a dog getting chased. So, well, that sounds like an awful place to work. I told you, it taught me about the lordship of Jesus. So when people talk about doing this and that, whatever they want in the grace of God, I think, baby Christian, no real responsibility yet, because Jesus operates in love, but with the same insistence the boss did. He expects me to know his agenda instead of him having to tell me the agenda and me choosing a task. He wants me to know what he's up to. So this morning I bring a word about being watchful, because he said we have to own a willingness to be out there in what he's doing and paying attention. He wants everybody around you to know him. He's expecting you to know that agenda and do something about it. He wants us to know all about him, know what pleases him. Why? We want the relationship for eternity, so we're finding out now what pleases the Master. He wants us to little by little choose to make him the owner of our heart, the owner of our life. And I say little by little because I've never seen anybody cold turkey do that yet. It can't be done. That's why the word for salvation in the New Testament, sozo, means you're going to keep working at this salvation thing. It means, Jesus, here I am again. It doesn't mean that you work to get into heaven. It's not by works that we get to heaven. It's a free gift. We receive that salvation. But then we come back and we give back to Jesus what should be a free gift back. You first loved me. Now I'm going to give back and I'm going to love you the same way. The same level. The same. I will lay down my life. My life is no longer my own. My life is hid with Christ in God. So this is now all about you, because you made a way for me to spend all eternity with you and not go to hell and not fear it and not fear the enemy. There's nothing that he can do to me. I'm secure forever. Because of that, Jesus, I'm going to give it all back to you. Ooh, but most people, oh no. So much so that I hear in most human relationships, again, when I'm talking to people, sometimes in the church, outside of the church, but especially outside, people get in a relationship so their needs can be met. And with no clue that really what they're supposed to do is try to do away with their own needs. Did you know that's what makes a wonderful husband, girls, look for the boy that is not out to have you meet any of his needs? When he comes at you in that direction for anything, he ain't the one for you. Why? That's not a Jesus trait. That's a world trait. That's the way the world works. You want to find a guy that has realized he's on the planet to nurture and love and lay down his life for you. That's the one that you should ask mom and daddy, can I go out with him? And you want to find that out by, for sure, the third date. You know, does he treat you right, take care of you right? Is he suggestive of things? Or is he just real open and wants to talk about you? Or when you ask him a question about him, he takes over the conversation and dominates the conversation. You can't get a word in edgewise. If he does, he's in love with himself. Why? We tend to talk about who we're in love with and what we're in love with. It tends to motivate not just our thoughts, but our words. And then our words kind of announce, it's kind of the pronouncement of what's coming next. So when somebody's all about themselves, they're going to be next on their agenda. You are not. When somebody talks about Jesus, Jesus has a place on their agenda. When Jesus is talked about a lot, he might have first place on the agenda. You want to find that out, and that's how you avoid being unequally yoked. Is Jesus on the same place on the agenda of both? How much do we talk about him? How much do we focus on him? Do we make each other uncomfortable when we talk about Jesus? If the gal's ahead of the guy spiritually, he wants to change the subject, talk about something else. I'd be alarmed at that. Why? What you want to do is find, where are we spiritually? Why are we going off on that? Because I see people make wrong choices all the time. You don't only fall in love with wrong things, you can fall in love with wrong people. And Jesus said there's a gauge for that. The Jesus meter, I call it. Why? That's how it works. Are we comfortable talking about him? Are we talking about the same kind of things together? Are we in reality when it comes to Jesus? Or are we just sort of religious? Or is he really a part of our life? Why? That's the part that counts the most if he's going to be Lord. That's where the match is as far as he's concerned. That's where the like passion will be as far as he's concerned. Can you grow and can you change? Yes. What happens in any relationship is there is a receptivity. Not so I can preach more and say more and change him. Or I can assert my manliness and she will submit. God help you doing any of those things. Because none of that has the ability to change man, because man is selfish and only Jesus broke through the selfishness, you see. So when he's telling us to watch, he's really saying, well, watch out for yourself. Be wise and know there's a greater agenda, and the agenda has Jesus always first in it. Now, you want a good marriage, that'll move you toward a good marriage. Say, well, what if I'm in one and it's not so good? I'd start talking Jesus. Why? He has the ability to make anything ugly good, and we're all evidence of that. We didn't start out perfect. We start out in a mess. And he's saving us from the mess. And some of us got a little more mess cleaned off than others, but we're working on it. And it's a glorious thing. Now, Jesus wants us to adopt a watcher's lifestyle. Now, these are scriptures. These are things that I could pull out a lot more. But here's four things that Jesus says will be happening in your life if you're watchful. Another place in scripture calls it be vigilant and watchful. That means be on your guard, be on your toes. You know, get up a little earlier than the other guy if you want to get, you know, we used to practice this. When we were young people, we lived about a mile from the big grocery store. And we were expecting our first child, but she wasn't born yet. We were living on not very much money. And I would come home from church on Sunday, and the baby was born there. We still lived same proximity, different house from the grocery store, but similar distance, a little further actually. I put on a backpack that had the little baby holder thing in it. And at first I put her on my back, then I realized that's not where she needs to be. She needs to be in the front. And then I saw everybody putting the baby holder in the front. He said, you were a dad with a baby holder? Yeah, we both worked. We took shifts with first baby, all right? We weren't stay-at-home parents. We alternated. So I'd strap her on about 1:30 in the afternoon, and I knew the grocery store was going to open at 2 because we lived in the South, and you didn't really want to do business on Sunday, but they would open at 2 o'clock. So we would go walking down there, hiking down there. It was 32 minutes to the grocery store, so they'd been open 2 or 3 minutes if I was hot-footing it down there. And baby bouncing, I was half jogging with his baby shaking, and get to the grocery store. Why? Everything's marked down. They had bins of stuff marked down. Yesterday's meat. Well, we lived on yesterday's meat. We live on the day before yesterday if it's cheap enough and it's still there. You know, why? We're stretching things out. Now, a lot of people could look at that and say, what's wrong with them? You know, they're in ministry. They moved here to do ministry. What was happening is we were honoring the Lord with everything that we knew to do, including that. And it was inconvenient. At times it was aggravating. Because when I went to go home, I had to be thinking, how many bags and how many pounds can I carry? And as the baby gained weight, I had to gain some muscle or something. I looked like a pack mule coming down through there. But you know what? We ate a lot better, and we still honored the Lord. Now, why did I tell that story? Life is full of things like that, where you make a decision to demonstrate the lordship of Jesus, or you make decisions that will demonstrate something else being in charge, like my circumstances are so bad. I hear so many Christians cave in to negative circumstances. Rather, see it as an opportunity to honor the Lord. Now, here's 4 things that he says to do. Be ready. We lived in a state of readiness in those days. I went to my brother's apartment about a quarter mile from us, and he didn't have as much food as we had. Poor thing. I felt sorry for him, single guy. So why don't you come over and eat? Okay, what are we having? I said, I don't know. Whatever's in the house, we'll be cooking it, having it. He said, I've got potatoes, so we'll bring some potatoes. Sounded like Bible school, kind of, doesn't it? For guys, guys don't do so well eating in school usually. But anyway, he brought potatoes over. They were real good, big. I like a good potato. It needs something with it, but I like a good potato. And I said, where'd you get this? He said, well, if you walk down to the railroad, he said, when the train comes in, the produce train, there's produce train every week. I believe it's on Thursday. He said, if you walk down there, if you come drive in a vehicle, they won't sell it to you wholesale. But you come walking down there, you can get a 50-pound bag of potatoes for $3. And they'll be just like this. I said, I'm on that list. So you know what I did Wednesday night? I got everything lined up so that I could quick put on my hikers. Well, I was going to hike and carry a 50-pound bag of potatoes, but I had practice. I'd been going to Harris Teeter on Sunday and hauling about 50 pounds back to the house. Did you know, rather than me fussing about that, it was a joy to do that? And I had potatoes to give away. So who wanted potatoes? You'd be surprised how many people were happy to have them. Now, being ready means rather than looking for a situation to disqualify me, I'm going to find a way to honor God and not complain in it and be happy. Did you know that attitude will cause promotion and favor to come into your life? Even if you're working for somebody out in the world, because they will see you as a problem fixer and a problem solver instead of a problem maker or a tolerator. Now, Mark 14:38 says, watch ye and pray. Again, the words of Jesus, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. I don't know if you know this about you, but the true you is your spirit on the inside, and your spirit is willing to do whatever it takes to please Jesus. That's part of your being ready. So I sure don't feel it on the outside, but that's who you are on the inside. Ever thought, I wish I could do that, but I can't? That's the two you screaming out, canceling out God. Your spirit on the inside saying, you can do that. Why? Your spirit man on the inside is like God, and it knows when it hears truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth, didn't he? He knows if we will become warm up to his way and hear the truth, we can have that in our life. That's what that verse means. If we see him as the way and we don't look for our own way and we don't look for something alternate and we don't tell everybody around us, well, I respect your religion. You undermine all of that when you start compromising. Why? The love of man is not something you want at the cost of loving Jesus the way he said. He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. No man comes to the Father, nobody, except through him. Ooh. So, Pastor, that's not a popular message. That's why we're talking about it. Because a lot of people today are saying things like, well, there's a lot of ways to God. No, there's one. There's one. You don't want to cave into that. You don't want to be a part of that conversation without honoring the Lord Jesus. If Jesus is your Lord, you'll say, that's not true according to the Bible, and I don't believe you. So they may not like me. Get ready. If Jesus is going to love you and you love him back, somebody's not going to like that very much. All right? Somebody's going to, why? Somebody might be in the world, not have any knowledge of God, and they're going to think you are a fruitcake, fruit loop, something wrong with you. Why? They don't understand spiritual things. Why do I say this? We're in a great age of conflict. It's going to continue to be a conflict. We have to decide who we loyal to. Who are we serving, really? Are we just asking Jesus, keep serving me? I would not want to do that. Now, he goes on, secondly, tells us to be faithful. This is in Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Then he goes on to say that the beginning test, the first level test of faithfulness is, what do you do with your money? Oh, no. That can't be. That has to be Old Testament. That's not New Testament. This is Jesus talking. And he said, it's a little thing. It's the basic thing. It's a simple thing. It's like the first real thing. Is it God testing you? God doesn't test us. But the devil does. Why? What's he going to use? What's the devil going to use to test us? The things in the world. God owns them, but the devil has a lease on them. That car you're asking the Lord about, the devil has some say in that. So if you're going to get it, you want to honor Jesus first. Jesus, have I made my money your money? Do you own what I own, or do I own what I own? See, there's a different attitude. One, it's joyful to keep the connection open with the master, because we're a different kind of servant. Did you know there's two kinds of servants? Remember our four people? They were all out doing everyday life. They were all working. They were all serving in society somewhere. We say it this way. They were making a living out there. But it wasn't caught up in what they were doing. It was the attitude behind it. Two that were taken had a different attitude. I'm going to show you what it is in a minute. There's two kinds of servants. You have to examine your heart today and say, what kind am I? In Jesus' day, there was a hired servant. You'll see some parables Jesus taught about the hired servants. They came in to be paid wages for their work. That's one kind of attitude. I'm going to give God what I owe him. He's going to give me what I've earned. And we're going to be on an as-needed basis. If he needs me, he'll get through to me. Well, bless your heart. You make it awful hard on Jesus. Well, did you know that's what preaching is? Giving God the opportunity to get through something he wants or needs. But a lot of times when preaching goes that way, people are like, oh, this is uncomfortable for me. Yes, hallelujah. It's supposed to be the master saying, hey, I want to change the nature of your heart and what kind of servant you are so that you are secure. Because the hired servant went home and had to pay their own bills and do their own thing and make ends meet. The bond servant was different. Somebody might start out a hired servant. Let's say Brian starts out, Brother Brian Planter, the hired servant. He's going to please the Lord, and he's in this relationship, and he's learning. He's got me covered. He's got my needs met. I'm going to serve him. And there's honor in that. That's not a bad relationship. That's a good relationship, but it is a lot of times going to be more about Brian. If I were to teach a message today that God just wants to bless you, he's going to bless everybody, ooh, that's more about God taking care of us. And if I don't counter that with, he said, give and it shall be given, I've told a lie. It's enough to make people do the wrong thing. But let's say Brother Brian here, he's a hired servant. We got a good relationship. He's a good worker. He's a good guy. I like him. I say, there's this chick, she's looking at you. You know, she works for me too. I think you ought to talk to her. Her name's Denise. We're going to pick the right chick. Okay. He's just holding his face like, oh dear God, what's he going to say? Nothing that you can twist around. All right. That's his wife's name, if you don't know. But they get together and they decide we're going to get married, and they've got three kids, three boys, and those boys are growing up. And the hired servant would have a choice to make. At some point in his service to the master says, do you like working here? Do you enjoy what you're doing? Do you like your family? Because the owner not only owns, but owns them. The ownership is limited, you see, because it's a hired relationship. That's why I start out by saying I felt like my boss owned me. Did you know that that sense with Jesus, not in the negative sense, but in the positive sense? The positive sense is when I am living to do His will, He is living to take care of me so I can do more of His will. But if it's for wages, they go home, pay their bills, make ends meet, and it's hard. Why, that's closer to the way of this world. When people see Jesus as He's going to meet all my needs, that's a hybrid. That's halfway to what God wants. But it's an attitude that says we have an arrangement. Do you know how many times I hear couples say they have an arrangement? And it's always because they are avoiding a covenant contract. For whatever reason, there can be a number of reasons, and I'm not invalidating any of the reasons. I'm just saying that people want an arrangement. Did you know God's interested in more than an arrangement? He's interested in a covenant. So I come one day with a hammer and a big old nail, big round, and a big gold earring. You love her? Say yes. You love Denise? Yes. You love your boys? All of them? You want all of them. You like them. You like this arrangement? You like how you're living? I'm taking care of you? You're doing what you're... All right. Well, if you really like them that much, do you love them enough to stay and stick with it? Yes. You want to do this. He's making the decision to not be a hired servant, but a bond servant. The next thing, and most don't know this about the piercing in today's culture, I'm going to put a nail through his ear. Not the left one, but the right one. Okay. I'm going to drive a nail in and pull it out and put a gold earring in. Now there is a moment where that piercing, it will hurt. He will remember the moment he decided, I'm not in it for wages. I'm in it for love. My love of the master, my trust to the master, his love and trust to me and my family. And all of a sudden, he's not a wage earner. He's in covenant with the master. That means what the master owns, he has access to. He just has to know how to access it and what to do. And the relationship changes. And pretty soon he learns, I don't have to only have my needs met. The master loves me. Instead of taking the day-old hamburger home, I believe I'll get a better cut. I think I'll take a big rolled roast in there and we'll feast on that a little. And see, that's the nature of who God is. But he says the more diligently we pursue him, the more diligent the reward. And he's not talking about just giving and stuff. He's talking about our heart. He's talking about letting him change the way he would describe himself in the relationship. The most honoring thing Jesus can say about you is, I own him. I own her. Yet in today's society, it's like, what? I mean, you go trying to spout off any fella here. Spout off to your guy friends. You own that chick. That's not going to bode well, is it? Why? It's not a human thing. It's a God thing. And we instinctively know we're not to do that to one another. We're supposed to say, here I am for you to one another. But we're supposed to say to Jesus, you're my owner. You're my master. Well, we got to wrap it up and quick. He says, be wise. Well, that makes sense. Jesus said in Matthew 25:4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. Remember the parable of the virgins? Half of them were provisioned. Half of them were ready. Half of them were ready to confront the darkness and last through it. Half of them were ready to make it through and have enough to get through the dark night. You'll have a challenge come. This world, the enemy, the devil in this world will try to challenge you. That's a kind of temptation. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm prepared for that. Have you ever been caught not prepared for something? I dream about things like that. I mean, I'm one of those personalities that dreams about, like, dreams I'm getting up to stand in front of a big crowd and I can't remember what to say. I don't like that feeling. What is that? That's not being prepared for something coming. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit What he calls the oil of gladness. What he calls the relationship that's healthy. We always have what we need at our disposal. Why? We've not hired on with Jesus. We're in covenant with him. And if we don't have something, we go to the storehouse and say, all right, God, what do I need to endure this situation? He's faithful to his word to perform it. Now, the last thing be doing. A good man. Want to hear about a good man? I want to hear about it. That was a weak amen. This is not a beat you up message. This is a reality message. This is a lordship message. Did you know the Lord Jesus asked us to make disciples in his church? We take that seriously around here. That means we give you every opportunity to choose something that will please Jesus in your life disciplines. We're not going to judge you if you don't, but we're going to present the truth to you so you can. Why? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you choose to do what he says to do, life gets better. It gets more full of God. That's his promise back, but he says, we'll invest up front and he'll make it happen. That's what he says. That's the truth of the gospel. Good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Say, I have some good. Oh, that's only a third of you. I have some good treasure in my heart. He's talking about everybody. Everybody has some. He brings forth that which is good and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart. What's the difference? He's talking about light and darkness. The world can't produce Jesus because he's not inside of them. We can because he's living inside of us, and we can present a Jesus that is palatable to them to receive. In the right kind of darkness, you want light even if you're a creature of the dark. All right, now, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Jesus is saying this. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Here it is again. And don't do the things I say. So he's saying to be a doer, be doing right things. The things we are doing reveals our heart. The things we are doing for Jesus shows what kind of servant we are. Or if we're totally selfish, our heart reveals that. That's why I talked to the little ditty about dating. If the guy wants to talk about himself all the time, ain't the one. Why? It's easy. It's a no-brainer. Jesus said so. He said, you don't want that. So, well, how do I get the right guy? Be the right gal. How do you get the right gal? Be the right guy. Be submitted to Jesus. Why? If somebody can't submit to Jesus who died for them, how will that same person ever submit to their spouse? It will be constant warfare, constant battle, constant problems. How will kids be able to honor mom and dad if mom and dad aren't honoring Jesus? We can't expect what we are not doing in a spiritual sense. We can't get the results without being a part of what he says to do. That's what he's saying here. So we choose to be doers of the word. Every so often you're going to hear something that should rock your world a little bit. Why? If it gets rocked and shaked up a little bit, we throw some things out. Say, I'm going to try something different. I've learned I'm never going to get too old to try something different. Now, I might have some tests. If it smells too funky or too like something, I may try a very little. But if you tell me enough, if you tell me, this is wonderful, Pastor, it'll make you feel stronger, I might put a whole spoonful in my mouth. But if you are wrong, I will spit it right out. Why do I say that? We never want to be afraid to try what God says will work. He said, try me at my word and prove me at my word and see that my word will work for you. Well, you don't know it's real till you try it yourself. You know, just think, was it hard to try a chocolate chip cookie? It was not, because somebody's going, you're going to love this. And it was probably the trusted grandma. You know, that every time she said that, it was, it wasn't like daddy saying, here, eat this. And waving the spoon at spinach. And you stick it back in there, choking on it. Who is our Heavenly Father? He's got every good and perfect gift imaginable. And he wants us to experience that. But he says, decide to guard your heart so I can do it for you. Decide what kind of relationship you want to be in so I can be a rewarder and not just a paymaster paying wages to see needs met. Again, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means there's no relationship with God without going Jesus' way. The way. We're talking about the way today. We've talked about the truth a little bit today. But there is a life he has for you that is better than what you have experienced to date. He never runs out of more and better. He is the author of more and better and overflow. That means we will never exhaust the more and the better. That means he is not looking at us saying, I'm going to limit them because they don't know anything yet. He's not out for you just to only know truth. He wants you to know him. All the workers in the field know the truth that they're going to get their fair pay. That's in the Bible. If you have a relationship with God, whether it's free, whether it's a bond servant or a hired servant, he is obligated to meet your needs. But the reward comes to what he calls the married wife, or the connection Jesus said he wanted to have with his church. Did you know that God's reward and his abundance and his blessing is because there is a relationship that said, Jesus, I'll give you my ear. They pierced the ear because it's an indicator, I will do everything you tell me to do. Whoo, that's powerful. Now, a person who's never seen that before and sees the blood running down Brian's shoulder is going to say, that looks scary to me. That looks like a bondage to me. I don't believe I want that. But to the Brian who sees God blessing him and helping him, he says, how can I go wrong with this? I can have access to more and greater. This tells me the master wants me. He's not just using me to get a job done. He's not just making me his witness so he can win other people. He wants me, and that changes everything. Stand to your feet. This morning as I pray, I want to take time, especially in this season. We're getting ready for communion next week. There's reasons why we're doing that. It's just the Lord really put it, impressed it on my heart this time again. But if you know about Jesus and you've never made him your Lord and Savior, today is your day. It's a simple prayer. But the prayer is going to be something that comes out of your mouth, but the desire has to be in your heart. As we present Jesus, we want to present Jesus as he really is. Jesus does want something back from us, but you know he doesn't require it. He said salvation is a free gift. And I would say this, I've watched people. You go to Sam's Club or you go to the grocery store. In the old days, the little grocery stores did this. There was some freebie every Saturday. And it was usually a freebie little kid's life. And in Mel's Market in Melvin, there was actually a man named Melvin that owned the grocery store in Melvin. All right. He lived in Gibson City. He actually lived above the store when I was a little kid. But at Mel's Market, there was always a kid's treat on Saturday. Why? Mel and his wife were brilliant. Christians, by the way, paid for Christian advertising in all the local papers their entire lifetime. Paid themselves. But they would market something, and we'd walk in the store. I mean, it was always a big deal to go to the store with Mom on Saturday, and not always did all three kids get to go, because Mom figured out we were eager to go, because there would be treats. So Saturday morning had to be managed right if you were a kid wanting the treat, okay? But we'd go to the store, and this is how God is. He always has what he knows you instinctively want. In July, it was ice cream. Look at these little itty-bitty ice cream cones. You know what we learned to do from our house? Get the big ice cream cone out of the pantry instead of the little one they had, and say, can you put a big scoop on this one? And you know what? They did it. Why? Mom was going to buy a lot of food at their grocery store. She was a major shopper. She was a loyal shopper there. So what would they do? There was this relationship, and Mother would get embarrassed because we would do different things like that. We would figure out a way to get our little extra something. Now, we're all like that to some degree. Did you know God will respond the way Mrs. Stephan did? She would look and say, they're so cute, I can't help myself. And she'd put two scoops on. Have a fun time, but don't drop the ice cream in the store. You boys go out on the bench. Yes, ma'am. And we'd go out there, just all these other little kids with a little bitty ice cream cone. How'd you do that? You gotta know the right people. Now, what was it really? We were taking advantage of something that was provided in a way that was really desirable to the one providing it. Now, as we got older, I knew the Stephans personally. They lived in Gibson City in their older years, had a big home there. And they, when we moved back, they were still advertising in all the papers. And I knew who it was. They never put their name on it. So I went by their house one day because I heard they were getting ready to sell their house and move. They were getting into something smaller in their 80s. I said, I want to tell you how you've impacted my life. And they thought it was going to be the newspaper. I said, no, it wasn't the newspaper. It was the free ice cream cones and the treats. We were the kids that came in with the big cone and you put two. You're that kid? I said, I am that kid. What are you doing? I'm a preacher. She said, let me get the ice cream. Why? There's a desire in God like that, where he will go to the ends of the earth to affirm something that he wants in the relationship. And he wants us to not come to him just thinking, we're going to get the little deal, and oh, God's humbling me, and oh, God, there might be moments we learn to humble ourselves, because they could have said no and put the little bitty scoop in there. You know what we would have had to do? Buck up and realize, well, this is all there is. Did you know with God, you're never at the point where this is all there is? So this morning, if you have a desire for prayer, you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, or you want to go the extra mile and say, I want the infilling of the Holy Spirit, well, that's the cherry on top. I tell you, that's one of the smartest things you'll ever do, because he's your teacher, your comforter, and your helper all in one. And he just wants to enhance your ability to learn the things of God. Why? He's here to fulfill what Jesus wants from us, to help us with that. If you will, let's bow our heads this morning and pray. And if this applies to you and you have a desire from the Lord, you want to change up your relationship. You want to not just have Jesus be your Savior, but you want to yield to him in lordship, and you want prayer, you can come. We'll pray for you. The Bible is our guide to how to make Jesus Lord. If you don't know him as Savior, I mean, come get the free ice cream this morning. Jesus says it's a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. That means no matter what condition we're in, no matter how we present ourselves, he says, I'm going to give you the whole deal. That includes heaven. That includes authority over the enemy. That includes healing in our body. That includes fixing things that have just gone so wrong we don't know how to fix them. That's what salvation is in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, this morning, we humble ourselves as your congregation. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the authority that's on your word. It's not our authority. It's not our mouth. It's your authority. It's your word. Now, Jesus, we honor you in this house this morning. You are the way. You are the truth. And you are the life. And our life is hid with you. So, Jesus, we humble ourselves this morning for a work of your Holy Spirit in our midst. Do your bit. Convict us and convince us to do your will and your word, so we can be pleasing to you in every way, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.